for the Peaceful Planet with Marcia McMahon, your show host. We have an extraordinary guest today with us, Bob Murray. And you were listening to two songs by Bob Murray. The first one you heard was Traveling Through Botswana, as inspired by George Harrison on the other side. And then the second song you just heard now was Abandoned Facts by Louis Armstrong. And boy, if that doesn't sound like Louis Armstrong, I don't know who it would be on the other side, because that is just absolutely fantastic Dixieland jazz. So stay tuned for a very radio show today on the Peaceful Planet as we interview and talk about Bob Murray, his psychic ability, and it is just truly my honor to present to you the genius behind our music, the gifted and talented Bob Murray. Hi, Bob. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I'm sort of embarrassed with all that buildup.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to live up to it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But you do. You do live up to it. Your music is absolutely fabulous, and we're very, very grateful that you're contributing this music to the Peaceful Planet radio show. This is, I want to say, only featured on BBS and only featured on the Peaceful Planet, and you can pick up Bob's music at www.thestarsstillshine.com. And Bob and I are linked into an exciting project with Spirit and seem to have a lot of the same connections to the same folks in Spirit. And I've last week spent some time reading some messages and some new lyrics from John Lennon. And Bob also works with John Lennon on new music that he's bringing through from the other side, as well as George Harrison. And then, of course, we mentioned Louis Armstrong, and there's Frank Duvall. And I believe this evolved out of Michael and the band. So I wonder, Bob, if you could go into a little more on how you actually get this music and transform it and synthesize it. You know, tell our audience a little bit about how you're doing all this, because it sounds exactly like these people. I mean, every style that you have is true to form. So if you could elaborate a little bit for our listeners, that would be great.
Well, maybe a little bit here. What it is done on the computer. I have a wonderful Macintosh computer. There's the advertising for Macintoshes if they need any. But it is done on the computer, and it has, I don't know how many different, thousands of different combinations that I can pick and choose from, including instruments, including arrangements, tempo, number of choruses, all wide range of things. I don't know how many different combinations that I could work even with Dixieland or with Louis Armstrong. And so what happens usually is they being the spirits on the other side, the musicians, or the former musicians, tell me what they want to have come through, and I arrange it on this side through my computer with their guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes through, usually comes through very nicely, and then it's recorded in the MP3 file or on a MIDI file, a MIDI file. And then we go from there. And the music is on our website. It is free for the listening. But if you want to buy it, you can also send us a message or a note saying that you want to buy certain songs. The procedure is on our website. And it's for a dollar. I guess it's worth more than
phenomenally cheap considering what you've got here and the sounds that you're creating. Now, again, let me mention the website, The Stars Still Shine, and there's two S's, one behind stars. And it's a perfect title for the work that you're doing, because you're featuring so many stars that we knew in life. And they do still shine. I mean, it's a perfect pun, if you will, the way you came up with that. Was that inspired from the Heavenly Realms as well, the title for the book, Bob?
Well, that was titled from the book, and it, I guess, inspired by people on the other side or spirits on the other side, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
It was not by accident, of course.
No, I think it's the perfect title for a website for the book that you have. And, you know, when I read the book, and it's been some time now, and we're not really doing a book review per se, because I want to touch on some of the other things you're doing, but Before we get to that, just to give a little bit of background, as I was reading the book, The Stars Still Shine by Robert Murray, I was really enchanted with the fun that they're having on the other side and the things that they do and the pranks that Michael pulls and the different humor that exists on the other side. And it's just like a quaint little small town with everything going on that you would expect on this side. Can you give us a little bit of insight about what really happens to people on the other side?
Well, okay. It was really started off with a message from Michael, who was my son-in-law.
Right.
Still is. He died in an accident. He was about 33, I believe, when he died some years ago now. And he started coming through me right after the day after he died. And he said, look, Father Murray, or Bob, I cannot get anybody else to do this for me. You're the guy who's psychic. Help, please. And if you're not going to listen to me, who is? So that's how it all started. So then Michael started writing messages every night. And I took them down by longhand every hour. But it took about an hour, I guess, an hour or two. And then I phoned up our daughter, and relayed the messages to him. So it became a book. And it is really a primer or an idea of what it's like over on the other side from Michael's point of view. And
right.
we've often been accused of name-dropping, but he's the one who was interested in show business, even though he wasn't officially in show business.
Well, he was an Elvis impersonator, and then, as I understand it, he passed
right,
on the
yes.
night that he was at the impersonation.
As he would say, a rabid fan.
Yeah, and then he meets up with Elvis in your book. I mean, you know, it's just
yes,
like...
he did. He arranged it, mm-hmm. or it was arranged, I guess, and he did.
And
meet
so
him.
He has a connection to the entertainment side of heaven, and you certainly convey the entertainment side of heaven with all these greats that you're channeling in: John Lennon, George Harrison, Frank Duvall, Michael in the band. Louis Armstrong, I'm trying to, let me check the list here to see what other names I can drop here for our audience, but I'm not doing this to drop names, and neither is Bob Murray. I want to encourage our audience that this man is quite sincere with a great deal of talent. Now, he's got new songs out from Desi Arnaz, Frank Duvall, Irving Fazola, don't know that name, Benny Goodman, George Harrison, Al Hurt, John Lennon, Liberace, George Liberace, and Michael in the band. And I assume there's probably new songs that I haven't even heard yet.
Oh, maybe a few. I don't know. We have a few by, or one by Benny Goodman, too, clarinet.
Uh-huh. So. I haven't had a chance to listen to that, but I want to encourage our listeners to also view my radio page. It's a pop-up, or just go to the Peaceful Planet, and you will see the links to all these songs. And by pressing on the link, you can pick the songs up for free and listen to them yourself. And they have a great beat, and they're really true to form. And it's just an awesome project. And I want to go into a little bit about the project that I'm working on collaboratively with you, which would be then, of course, the lyrics from one of the world's great lyricists, John Lennon. And I did a feature show on all the lyrics and the music last week. We hope you were able to hear these songs, and we are open to any feedback from our listening audience. I want to give the toll-free number. We're at 1-877-876-5227, and we're open for any questions you may have for me or for Bob Murray. Occasionally, I do readings. I open to spirit when I'm on the show, but if you have a particular question for Bob that you'd like to ask about heaven and that kind of thing, or you would like some insight from me, you can also email me at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com with questions, and we'll read your questions the following week if there isn't time to go into it today. We have a slightly shortened time period because there were some technical problems with the last show getting up on the air, so we will be 50 minutes or so instead of a full hour, and maybe even less than that. But we want to cover as much as we can. And I'm going to read your full bio, if I may, so people can get a little bit of background here, and then I want you to go into some of your other projects, if that sounds all right, Bob.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Bob Murray, a high school teacher, became aware of his psychic abilities when he discovered he could read people and objects. By holding pens belonging to his students, he was able to accurately describe their homes and locate lost assignments upon request. He could also sense when students were heading for trouble and guide them in a more appropriate direction. As one student confided later, "You're the only teacher I had who cared enough to convince me that I was a worthwhile person." Bob initiated a series of very successful adult education classes entitled Introduction to the Occult for the same large school board for which he taught high school students. Summers were spent as a director of a children's camp. He also gave lectures on the occult topics at junior colleges and was a popular guest demonstrator at a spiritualist church. Spanning more than 30 years, Bob's background and experience make him uniquely qualified to write these messages from beyond. He has the ability to raise his vibrations so as to hear the spirits of crossed over people. He is conscious and quite aware of his surroundings while he writes. He has developed the ability to slow down the messages and write them accurately. This is not automatic writing, but rather transcribing what he actually hears. And again, the website for Bob's books, music, and other endeavors is thestarstillshine.com. Now, I see here under your bio you've got some new projects going besides the music. You've released the Umbart Collection, An Earth-like Planet, and that's an e-book. So, Bob, what could you tell us about the planet Umbart, and how do we know anything about this planet?
Well, it's a good long story, but I'll shorten it very, very quickly. Michael made contact with, let's say, a person who was named Nancy in heaven. She was visiting from her home planet, now the planet. The closest we can get to it in spelling or in pronunciation is Umbart. And that was quite a distance away, but she traveled by thought travel and was able to get to our heaven. In other words, she was serving as an assistant housekeeper for Michael. He has one housekeeper, sort of a surrogate mother named
He's got it pretty good there in the afterlife.
Pardon me?
He has it pretty good in the afterlife there with the housekeeper, and doesn't he live next door to Diana, too?
Yes.
Princess
Oh, yes.
Dive?
They live in the same avenue, shall we say.
Yeah, he's really up there.
So anyway, he talked to Nancy. Nancy told him and others about the planet, and they arranged to take a trip to it, and he describes his trip to the planet, his many trips to the planet, and he describes them in the e-book on the trips to Umbart. So, I mean, without, you know, getting into great detail, the people are similar to us, of all the same type of anatomy, apparently, and they're quite enlightened and no wars, truly a peaceful planet.
Yeah, I was impressed, being that our show is dedicated to the peaceful planet and bringing forth a more peaceful planet. Of course, that was John's song that is our theme song, more or less. But, you know, I was impressed, and I highly encourage our readers. I know many are open to the idea of others in this universe besides just our planet, and eventually, science will catch up with the metaphysical and confirm it as true. In fact, I think we've even had some visitors on this planet, and it's been highly suppressed with Roswell. But, you know, I highly encourage readers to pick up a copy of the Umbart Collection because it's very fun and entertaining reading. The adventures that go on there are hilarious, and they're well-written, and I think there's a lesson, if you will, kind of a lesson plan within the Umbart Collection that gives us, well, for instance, they recycle and they use energy that doesn't pollute. And it seems to be, you know, a planet without wars. And it's amazing to me that you're getting this information because it's kind of giving us some insight into what we might do as humans to better ourselves and to create a more loving and tolerant planet, because I guess they refer to us as the blue planet, and, you know, the blue planet is kind of like a warring planet. And we've got a ways to go before we get to that peaceful planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not hopeless. It's certainly doable. And with people like Marcia and others that are working very diligently for peace, then we certainly can achieve that.
I think so, too. And I think with this new age coming in, more and more people are open to messages from spirit. More and more people are wanting somehow to effectively reach their governments and give them the message that we really don't want war anymore, and finding different ways of getting that message across. So Diana says that it's not necessary to go out and demonstrate and spill one's blood to have peace, but rather to email elected officials and put pressure on them and praise their works when they do something for peace, and withhold praise and complain in email when they don't. And I think that we'd all like to see a more effective democracy here in the United States, just speaking for myself as a citizen. And I think we'd all like to feel that we have an impact on the political process. And many of us feel that the political process in America has been hijacked by the Bush administration and their continued commitment to the war, which I personally, and Diana, is not too much in favor of. But there are critical issues in the Middle East that, while the war is going on, that are being completely ignored. And one of those, of course, is the Israeli-Palestinian issue, and many of her messages feature that. And now we've got a hotbed going on there between Hamas and the other factions, the factions of Fatah and Mr. Abbas. And so, you know, we need to put pressure on our elected representatives to ask that more be done for the Palestinians, because this, as Diana has correctly identified, is the issue, the core issue behind the Muslim grievance and the Muslim hatred of us. And they say that we're in cahoots with Israel. And if we would do more for the Palestinians, there is a way out of terror and a way out of this religious righteousness. So anyway, I'm on my stand now, but I'm going to get off it and go back to you, Bob. I have to get this in because this is very important. And while I probably won't be reading one of Diana's messages for today, I want our listeners to be sure and take appropriate political action wherever they can, because we can literally transform this to a more peaceful planet through our dedication to peace in many ways. And we can email and ask that more be done for the Palestinian issue. So I want to invite also our listeners to my website, in case you haven't visited it and this is your first time listening in. I'm at 3Ws, DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com, where you can see many of Diana's messages, John Lennon's messages, and various messages from Spirit, and artwork as well. I'm an artist, and I post my art online, and some of that is available. Bob, back to you. You've been, in addition to all this music and all these messages that you get from Spirit all the time, you're on a couple of very interesting projects. One, I remember you mentioned you have an e-zine, and if you would please give us the name of the e-zine and a little bit about the woman that you channeled that wrote Little Women. I forget her name, but I know you're working with her too, if you could mention that for us.
Well, with the e-magazine, we feature spirits from the other side, usually people who, and I say people because I still consider them people.
Well, they are, absolutely.
Certainly. And we, or I do channel different authors, and the latest one has been, besides Michael, the latest one has been Louisa May Alcott. And she writes fairly long stories. I'd say the shortest one is about 50 pages. They're not, most of them, well, yes, not. No, I don't believe any of them are in the e-magazine yet, but they will be in the form of novellas, and they will be, and they will be on the website, be able to buy them as an e-book.
Well, I'm a great fan of Louisa May Alcott. I haven't read all of the novels, and I did read one of her novels that had been hidden in an attic, and it was uncovered, and then it was published posthumously. So these are like posthumous publications as well, we could say, could we not?
Well, ultimately, yes.
Yeah,
certainly.
That's really, and so this really gives evidence. I'm sorry.
I said posthumously.
Posthumously, yeah, there you go. I think you have a lot of those crazy puns in your easing. People, I really encourage you to tap into Bob's site and pick up the easing. It's very reasonably priced. I think it's, what, $15 for 6 months, and you get an issue every month?
That's right, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's about, I really, really respect the work that you're doing in the easing. Pardon me?
About 30 or 40 pages per issue.
Mm-hmm. And you also have the special correspondent, John F. Kennedy, Jr., who does an interview each and every month, and they're always fantastic. And then we also have, you have Irma Bombeck channeling through you. I mean,
yes.
this is like dropping names.
I'm sorry. She got into the radio interview business, or the heavenly interview business, and she's quite funny. She's interviewed
quite a few different ones.
I guess the latest one is Don Knotts.
Oh, you don't happen to have that in front of you, do you?
I don't know if that's in this issue or...
I think that's in the April issue, as I remember.
It was Steve Allen was one of them, I know.
Yeah, and you also interviewed Johnny Carson a while back, and when I read the interview you did with Johnny Carson, I was in absolute hysterics because, of course, he was joking about... the hot place where they have the pitchforks. It was just exactly
his humor.
Yeah,
He's not in the hot place.
No, he's not in the hot place. He's in the good place.
He's in the good place.
Oh, he was so much fun. You know, everything that you do with Spirit is so much fun, Bob. You must be a great deal of fun yourself. I mean, for humor around the house and everything, you just must be hilarious all the time. The work you do is just so humorous.
Oh, sure. We just lie around the floor moaning and groaning at all my jokes. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure. Because, you know, I know you have a wonderful family. And, of course, the people in Spirit often refer to you as Father Murray. And, of course, you know, that's confusing to some people, and they think you're a priest or something. But, actually, we want to assure people that you don't need to, you know, confess all your sins to Bob or anything like that. He's not associated at all with the priesthood. But you came by this name through Michael, did you not?
Well, yes, I used to when Michael was alive, and he's up in another city away from us. I called on the phone, and he would say, oh, okay, it's Father Murray. Lynn, it's your father, Father Murray. So that's how the title stuck. So
Diana always refers to you as Father Murray. And mentions you often, and then Bob has received messages from Diana on occasion, and then some of them were intended for me, and then I printed some of them in my book, and then, you know, vice versa, I've had messages from Diana that I share regularly with Father Murray. So we seem to be connected to certain parts of heaven the same, but it seems like you have... what shall we say, the whole host of heaven there. You've got them all. With anything from Louisa May Alcott to Louis Armstrong to John Lennon to George Harrison. It's just, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. And I find it extremely joyful, really, to work with the other side, personally speaking for myself, and a great deal of satisfaction in knowing that... that people have joy and they have activities, they create music, they create drama, they're writing novels and novellas on the other side. So it lends a great deal of credibility to the afterlife concept. And really, I think everyone that has any concerns about what heaven is really like should read the Star Still Shines book. Now, I want to get to some of your other projects that you're working on, Bob. You mentioned here a TV documentary called The Legend of Memphrey. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That was shot not through my doing. I didn't produce that one. But it was shot through a company called Diversus out of Montreal, Canada.
Uh-huh.
And they did it's a legend of a lake monster in the lake right here, Lake Memphremagog. It straddles the Vermont-Quebec border.
Lake what?
Pardon me?
What was the name of the lake?
Okay, Lake Memphremagog.
Okay, so that's the whole title of the lake, Mantra.
It's just an Indian name, meaning beautiful waters, and that's the Indian translation, I guess.
Wow, sort of like the Loch Ness Monster then, huh?
Pardon me?
A lot like the Loch Ness Monster legend.
That's it. It's the same idea. There seems to be a parallel going way across the same latitude.
Now, do you by chance live on that lake, Bob?
Pardon me?
Do you by chance live on that lake?
Well, yes.
Oh, and how were you involved with this group? As a psychic, were you fighting?
I was called in as a psychic consultant on that one.
Wow, fantastic. And what did you discover for them?
Well, they just told them where the where Memphrey, that's the lake monster, had its home. And we didn't discover the lake monster at that time, but or actually, monster may not be a very nice word for the cute guy, but it's I did that. We tried to find Memphrey, but were unsuccessful. And they interviewed a lot of other people who said that maybe Memphrey was a bunch of otters or beavers or something else like that, or maybe a moving log. Some of them people weren't too complimentary, but it was pretty well balanced.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a compliment anyway that they came to you for your psychic ability, because, you know, I would think that you would be an excellent choice. You certainly have the ability. Now, you said you were involved in some other project. Can you disclose that to us at this
time?
Well,
just lately I've been writing some screenplays, and I have an opportunity to form a film and TV production company. I don't know if I'll go ahead and do it, because it's going to cost a fair amount of money. But this is something happened the last few days.
Wow.
It all revolves around a screenplay I just finished.
Well, congratulations, Bob. That is such an accomplishment. You are so diverse and so talented, and you deserve every bit of success. So, you know, as the saying goes, go forth with your dreams and hold on to them. And it's truly great to have an opportunity. But, yes, whenever you're getting into something like that, it usually involves a lot of upfront money. I know from having been, you know, doing the publishing of my books, it's a lot of upfront and not a lot on the other end until you really get out there to the mainstream consciousness, you know. But, you know, you should talk to our producers here, Don Newsom and Doug Newsom, too, and see if they can be of help in some way, because they're very well connected in media and want to bring out
It usually revolves around money.
Pardon me?
And getting it. So if it's going to happen, it'll happen. I'm not too worried about it.
Right, yeah. Now, you're talking also about another book coming out, and tell us the title of the next book.
The Stars Still Shine. Stars Still Shine. And it's going to be the book two, continuation of book one. Hey, we're trying to get it out as fast as we can, which seems to be at a snail's pace. But probably, I'll stick my neck out here and say the end of August, which seems to be the anniversary, I think 5 years since book one. So.
Well, you're a very busy man then, between novellas with Louisa May Alcott, the music you're creating, and the second book, The Stars Still Shine. I mean, I don't know how you have any time to sleep, Bob. It's literally amazing, but I encourage our listeners to tap into your great creativity, enjoy the music. It's downloaded for free, and you can also download your own personal copy of some of this music for your own personal enjoyment and entertainment. Now, is Don still with us? I'd like to hear a song if he is. Don, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Don?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. I'd like to hear The Stars Still Shine, if we can.
Certainly.
For our break. And this is channeled from Bob Murray, and it's by Michael and the Band.
Okay.
And we're back on the air with Peaceful Planet, and we were listening to some of Bob's music. We understand, however, that part of The Stars Still Shine did not play. We apologize for that error. And you were listening to Eternal Opus, channeled from Bob Murray by John Lennon, inspired by John Lennon. And I have the actual lyrics. This is my end of the collaboration that I am doing with Bob Murray. And I thought that I'd read a few messages from John Lennon as we wind up our program for today. Again, our lines are open at 877-876-5227. If you have any questions for Bob Murray about his music or his books, and I'd like to go ahead and read Eternal Opus. I just channeled these lyrics in last week, and I'm on a collaborative venture here with Bob, and it's John's idea to create this music for the purpose of creating a more peaceful planet, and by giving me the lyrics and giving Bob the music, what is he is envisioning for our world is for someone to pick this up and put it into form and, you know, play it on instruments and sing it. And he's because his voice is not any longer with us on the earth plane, he's wanting us to sing along. So listen in to these lyrics channeled from John Lennon. The title of the song is Eternal Opus, what we just listened to. Eternal Opus, life itself, reality of this plane, searching for truth and finding it in the love of my life. This tribute to life eternal for me and you. No religion will tell the truth. All want you to believe in their stuff, but it's true we all go on forevermore in love. Eternal Opus, let go the fanaticism and the righteousness. Let all things be as they are, without the dogma, the fighting that belief creates. Live in oneness and harmony over all the earth. We rejoice in life eternally for you and me. All life is one. We live as one in peace and joy forevermore here. Yeah, this is I, John, telling you we are eternal love going on about our daily lives as though nothing has happened or ever will that will separate you from God. As the book said once, a prophet, I believe, I tried to tell them all when I lived as John, but nothing can describe the miracle of being here surrounded in love. No angels nor harps, except those we play upon, however much not like the joy we have without guilt and fear. Eternal Opus, for the earth I sing, know that this is truth from within yourselves. Learn to listen to your own heart and mind, and you'll know that this is true. From me, John, to you, a chorus of angels brings you this my tribute, Eternal Opus, life goes on. So I thought these lyrics were pretty beautiful, and reinforce a lot of what Robert Murray's books contain, that the idea that we all do go on and it's a joyous experience in the afterlife. And those in the afterlife that stood for peace and that stood for causes would like to continue their causes, in this case through John's music, and would like us to become more open to these messages of spirit so that we may thusly use the wisdom from spirit to transform our earth to a more peaceful planet. So that's my theme. And Bob, I wondered if you had anything to add to all of your accomplishments, anything else that you would like to share with us as we round up this interview today?
Well, I have lots of help from my friends.
You certainly do.
I don't do things myself.
That's
John
right.
Is there, and he says, very good, Marcia, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
really
he's in the upstairs
studio. We
really
must get together sometime.
I'm sorry,
on your
repeat
side.
That. Repeat it one more time. Bob?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear what John said. He said, very good, and then something else.
Oh, he said, I don't chew my cabbage twice, but he said, I'll make a salad for you. it's great, Marcia. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Don't let yourself get down. He said, each person does their own thing, and it's got to be the good for everybody.
Wonderful message. And John knows me so well. He knows how hard we've been working with spirits for all these years, and we've endured a good deal of ridicule, I think, on the Internet and in various places, and I'm sure that that's not all completely over. But, he's just great. I'm seeing him with Princess Di and George right now, and I think they do gather around in the upstairs studio, especially when they've got two of their most powerful channels gathered together in the same time and space, you know. So it is wonderful, he's saying, to bring this this great music to Earth once again, and it's his honor and pleasure to work with you and with me and with the BBS Network. And he sends on his special thanks as well to our producer, Don Newsom, and our co-producer, Doug Newsom, and he's honored to do this. Now, I do have one more message from John that I'd like to read if there's time. I think I'll make it very brief, and then we'll close with another tune from John Lennon. This is John speaking. There's nothing boring in any of your shows, Marcia. You're a great host, and we are honored to be on today. We'll be watching from the upstairs studio. I believe Diana has a message she's wanting to bring through you tonight, so do be open. She's right here with me tugging my arm. It's all about the situation in the Middle East. For all those listeners, we want to turn people on to your work with the great Princess Diana. Her work is most important, for without peace, the whole entire planet cannot fully enter into ascension, as she understands it. We of the Ascension Movement, and the Beatles were of the Ascension Movement and began it, really. We stand up for peace. We stand up for nonviolence. And we ask for no more war. And all we are saying is give peace a chance. This very idea of antiseptic wars where buttons are pushed remotely while children die is just as bad as the whole ludicrous notion of terror in the name of one's God. There is a God here, and we want people the world over turned on to peace. Imagine peace. Imagine love. Imagine that your world is about to totally transform to this love vibration. Well, enough of my ranting. I'll let Diana have her say. All we're saying is give peace a chance. Love you, John. So John is sending out his special love to our listening audience. And we're going to be closing with some special tunes that were channeled in from the great Bob Murray. It was truly my honor to bring your music into the program and to have this interview with Bob. And we want to encourage our listeners to visit Bob's website at www.thestarsstillshine.com and tune into his great tunes. As we say on BBS now, tune into the higher frequencies. So we definitely are doing that as well. And we are going to close with, we're now going to play the tune, The Peaceful Planet, in honor of our theme song. And thank you, Bob, once again for appearing on our show and for your great work with Spirit and your great music and allowing us to use the music. And we hope that you'll come back to The Peaceful Planet real soon once again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, again. And it was a great interview. Thank you again. And God bless to our listening audience. And please tune in next week for a fascinating discussion from a man who knows all about the Holy Spirit. And God bless to all of our listeners. Bye for now. And we're listening now to Peaceful Planet.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.